The depth of work that goes into writer and artist Eric Carle's books for children might surprise you. The author's works are on display now at the High Museum in a show called I See a Story. In it, audiences can get a closer look at some of the original work that became beloved books like The Very Hungry Caterpillar and Brown Bear, What Do You See? Lois Reitzis recently spoke with two of the show's curators, Virginia Shearer and Genia Sweeney, to talk about the depth behind the colorful illustrations.
Eric Carle at the High Museum, and we are delighted to be joined by co-curators Virginia Shearer and Genia Sweeney. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
So, the High Museum is the sole venue for this exhibition, I See a Story, The Art of Eric Carle. How did you come by that honor?
We have a three-year partnership with the Eric Carle Museum of Picture Book Art in Amherst, Massachusetts. We're really pleased to be able to partner with them in this way. So last year, we had a wonderful exhibition called Seriously Silly about the artist Mo Willems. And this year, we have our exclusive Eric Carle exhibition, and we have one more in our lineup that will open in spring of 2017. So it's a wonderful partnership, just like many of the partnerships the High has done over the years with the Louvre and other great museums.
Yeah, and this series that this series continues the newly established tradition of featuring artwork from children's books. Mo Willems most recently, and before that, The Art of Jerry Pinkney. What do we get from taking work from the pages of a board book to the walls of a museum?
Well, one thing we're really interested in is visual culture and how art is present at more places than just a museum. You might have art in your own home and you don't even know it. We are very interested in really welcoming people of all ages to the museum. We want even the littlest ones to be able to walk in and really feel welcome and feel at home. And perhaps they'll recognize some of the art on the wall. But one other thing about the art in this exhibition is it really takes on an incredible quality when you see it in person. It has so much more dimension, the original artworks, than when they're reproduced in books. In the case of the Eric Carle artwork, these are gorgeous collages, and you're really able to see the way that he hand-painted these beautiful tissue papers and layered different colors of papers to create these incredible images, and you're able to see more detail in the original artwork than the reproductions.
I like what you said about the inclusiveness and art being all around us. It's just such a refreshing attitude after the elitism of some earlier decades. Do you think it took the pop artists of the 60s to help us embrace that attitude more?
I think that's a really great point. One thing that people like the pop artists, even as early as perhaps the Dada artists, were interested in doing was really breaking down the barrier between art and life. And making art less elitist in that they wanted to recognize that art can be found in unexpected places.
A soup can.
Absolutely.
Now, a children's book or an illustrated book is certainly another level of art. And in regards to Eric Carle, what distinguishes his work in particular?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's his technique. It's his really succinct but wonderful and sort of universal storytelling approach. You know, he's really an author of fables. has these incredible stories that everybody can relate to. And the characters that are animals are also characters that everyone can relate to. But they have very human experiences, whether it's journeys or the kinds of experiences one would experience as a child. They're very universal stories. And then the artwork itself is just stunningly gorgeous.
It's so vibrant in color. Indeed, many of Eric Carle's works are renowned worldwide, nearly universal in that renown. It may be fair to say that the Very Hungry Caterpillar can be found in just about every child's bookshelf and nursery all over the globe, every child fortunate enough to have books in the household. What can we learn about such a familiar work by taking it out of its context?
The Very Hungry Caterpillar was published for the first time in 1969. So it has an incredible shelf life, and it still feels really vibrant and relevant today, almost 50 years later. And I think that really speaks to the kind of universal message of the artwork, and also of this beautiful story of metamorphosis and really this kind of transformation from one thing into another thing.
I remember reading it to my children when they were very young, and initially they're so engrossed with the hunger, would get hungry reading it. And then, indeed, there's this metaphor at the end, you know, there's the butterfly. So it really is a transformative story in every sense of the word.
Absolutely. The works themselves are so beautiful. And when you come to the museum and you can see them on the walls, it makes people, and we hear this from them, want to go home and read those books again and read them with their children or their grandchildren, or even just go back and look at their own copies. So I think by having the original work kind of unbound and pulled apart from the book makes you look closer, both at your book at home, but also the images in the galleries. And there's a lot of memory that comes through in this. And so many of the discussions we hear in the galleries are people remembering for the first time having seen the book, having read it, or also remembering the many, many times they may have read this book to their children. And it's funny, I was talking with someone earlier today who said, my children are readers now on their own, independent readers, and I really miss those days when I was able to read the picture books with them. And so it's a very nostalgic feeling.
Well, as the High did with the Mo Willems exhibition, the Alliance Theater is joining you for this project. Tell us about how the rest of the Woodruff is getting involved with the show.
That's right. We're so excited to be collaborating with the Alliance Theater again for this project, and they are going to be producing two brand new productions based on Eric Carle books. In June, they'll be premiering a brand new musical based on Pancakes, Pancakes, and we've been fortunate enough to see a preview, and it's so fun. This is maybe one of Eric Carle's less known books. It's the story of a young boy named Jack who wants a big pancake for breakfast. And his mother makes him go through all of the steps, gathering the wheat, grinding the wheat into flour, gathering eggs. So he really understands where his food comes from and all the labor that goes into producing a pancake. We are featuring 9 illustrations from the original book in the exhibition, and they're really beautiful. They really evoke this kind of pastoral world of perhaps a bygone era.
And then in September, you know, the Theater for the Very Young is one of, I think, the most magical things that the Alliance does. And that's their wonderful interactive medium that they do with just kids who are just learning to walk, babies, on up to about 4 or 5. And they are adapting one of Eric's books called Head to Toe, which is a lot of illustrations of children doing yoga poses with animals. So a little person doing a cat-cow with a cat or a cow, and flamingos and wonderful images. I think we have four works from that book in the show. And then in September, Theater for the Very Young will launch called Head to Toe.
We've spent a good bit of time talking about The Very Hungry Caterpillar. What are the other highlights of this exhibition?
We have, in the introductory gallery, we have three of Eric Carle's books that are related to his own life story. He has a really incredible biography. He was born in 1929 in Syracuse, New York, to two recent German immigrants. They decided to move back to Germany when he was 6 years old in 1935.
When many people were trying to flee Germany.
Absolutely. It was a very unfortunate decision that led to a lot of hardship in his childhood. He wrote several books that are related to this in kind of subtle ways. One of them is a beautiful story published in 2013 called Friends, about a little boy who's separated from his best friend and goes through many trials to be reunited with her. And after the book was published, a reporter actually tracked down the friend of Eric Carle's who had inspired the book, and they were reunited for the first time in 82 years.
Wow. He's still alive.
He is. He's turning 87 this summer.
Will he come to see the show?
That's our hope. He hasn't promised any public appearances, but through the museum, he's been getting pictures of our exhibition, and we've been sending him little notes of the great feedback that we're getting. And our hope is that he'll make the trip to Atlanta, and we'll get to hear what he thinks about our exhibition.
We know, but don't acknowledge often enough, the role of teachers for young children. What were the influences on Eric Carle? And today, how is Eric Carle's art being used in school?
Eric is really gracious and really, I think, effusive about the influences of art teachers in his life, in his path, and in his career. And it began very early for him. His mother was raising him in a pretty strict fashion in the United States and, wasn't looking favorably to notes coming home from teachers. And as the story goes, one day she got a note that she needed to come in and see Eric's kindergarten teacher, Miss Fricke. And she went in, and as it turns out, Miss Fricke didn't give a bad report about young Eric. She gave a glowing report and said that he was very strong in art. He had a lot of natural abilities, and asked his mother to please make sure that he had materials and time and space and encouragement. And as Eric says, his mother did continue in that vein for his whole life, encouraging him to be an artist.
Bless that kindergarten teacher.
And Lois, there was another teacher in Germany who was incredibly influential for Eric Carle, and that was his high school art teacher, Herr Kraus. As you might know, under the Nazi regime, there was a very strict definition of what art could be. It had to be realistic. And there was a group of artists called the Degenerate Artists who were banned by the Nazis. Eric Kraus recognized young Eric Carle's talents, much like Miss Fricke, and he secretly took him to his home one day and showed him a box of this art that was banned. It was a very dangerous thing for him to do, but he thought it was so important for Eric Carle to really expand his understanding of what art could be. And I think it was very shocking for Eric Carle. He said that the strange beauty of this art almost blinded him. This is work by people like Paul Klee, Kandinsky, Franz Marc. And in the exhibition, we feature a book by Carle called The Artist Who Painted a Blue Horse. And it's a tribute to Franz Marc.
The Blau Reiter.
Exactly. Where he says, art can be whatever you want it to be. It doesn't have to be realistic. He realized you could paint things not from nature that really come from your heart and that are really expressive. And I think you can really, looking at how painterly his works are, you can really see the influence directly of kind of the German Expressionists.
And you mentioned Matisse, the tissue paper collages, I would think.
Yes, exactly. Then the way that he cuts, you know, Eric's, in the books, you can see, because there are pictures of the original work, so there a lot of the hard lines are left out from what his direct cuts are in the tissue paper, but then also the texture from when he tears the paper and even when he paints and manipulates the paper. You see all that in the exhibition, but it doesn't translate as well in the books. I mean, they're beautiful, exquisite books, but to see the real thing, you get to see that. And that's very similar to Matisse's technique towards the end of his life.
Well, it's really been a joy talking about this exhibition with you, Virginia Shearer and Jinia Sweeney. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lois.
Thank you so much.